Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, it's John McKay. It's a big day for me.
It is.
Okay. A mentor, a huge real estate celebrity has agreed to be on our little show
today.
And I'm just giddy. You'll understand later, but I'm bringing my big money energy to the show today because, I mean, this is just awesome. A little bit of background here.
He's levitating, folks.
There is a show called Million Dollar Listing on HGTV. And especially my favorite is New York. So for those that don't know, the show follows three New York brokers. I mean, these guys are the real deal. And gives you insight into their deals. And it's super relatable to agents. You know, my wife would make fun of me years ago. I'd come home. She'd be like, oh, my gosh, haven't you been doing this all day? And now you're watching it on TV? Like, she's like, you are a psycho. And so I was just like, oh, but, you know, it's so relatable. Like, they say things to their clients, the exact same things that I say. And so, you know, I had an affinity to them because of that, or I was probably comfortable with that. Now, granted, they have a lot more zeros behind their deals than I do. But the business is, it's so refreshing to see the same type of thing happen. And now here's the deal. Fast forward a few years ago, as our team has grown, as we've networked with advertisers and teams in other markets, we started to cross paths with one of the million-dollar agents and got, friends of friends, and got to know then their programs and what was happening. So I don't want to delay any longer. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Ryan Serhant from Million Dollar Listing.
Welcome.
Hey, Lance. How's it going in the Tri-City?
Ryan, it is going awesome here.
Yes, sir. Hey, how are you both? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, man. We are doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm just going to jump right in here. Ryan, the first question I have, and for those that don't know you, how did you get into real estate in New York?
I ran out of money. That's kind of like most people. I had to figure out something to do. I came to New York to do theater, to be an actor, to try that, because I knew that if I didn't at least try it, after I got out of school, I would regret it for the rest of my life, right? You got to always kind of get it out of your system. And I didn't think I was just going to get out of my system. I thought I was going to do it forever. But it's really expensive to live in New York City. A lot more expensive than you could even ever imagine. Everything costs double here. So I ran out of money pretty quickly and needed a job. And it was either bartend, waitress.
Ryan, I can tell you, you are right about one thing. There are days I feel like all I do is act the part in a play of this crazy play called real estate. You know, people tell us all the time in Tri-Cities, man, you guys are really aggressive. In fact, other brokers in the market even call us out on it. But Ryan, you're in New York City.
Wow.
Arguably one of the most competitive markets. How did you become a top agent there?
Yeah, there are, I think, 80,000 agents here, which is a lot.
Yeah.
I am not from New York City. I was born in Texas. I grew up outside Boston. And I came here not knowing New York or wanting to be a salesperson, that's for sure. But I am very determined. I do not negotiate my goals. I am competitive, right? And I saw how to become successful in this business by working incredibly hard and by being incredibly disciplined every single day. And I knew that I could build a network from nothing just by doing it every single day.
Man, I love that you value hard work and discipline. I've always told a lot of local people here the same thing. I feel like growing up on a farm and having that hard work really has translated to a lot of success in real estate. But did you just tell me that you were following up at a funeral to get an estate sale? I mean, 5 minutes into this thing and you are already killing me, literally.
Yeah, come on. Listen, a lot of the best deals we do are estate sales.
Yeah.
You know, people pass on, it's fine. I'm there to help the kids, and then maybe the kids, you know, maybe they need a new place, and I'm going to be with them forever. The only time I stop following up is when I die. That happens, hopefully I'll have invented some sort of automated follow-up system that'll happen with all of my clients, even after I'm long gone.
Oh, this is great stuff, Ryan. I mean, years ago, I read one of your first books, Sell It Like Sirhan. And it was a great book. I used those strategies and those techniques here in the Tri-Cities in our local market. But what inspired you to write this book?
COVID, actually, 2020. I was quarantined in New Hampshire. They shut down New York City at the end of March. You were not allowed to go outside. You weren't allowed to do anything. And in New York, you know, it was scary. I mean, there was bodies. You know, there were body bags. You know, it was really, really bad here in March, April, May. And so I was sitting up there and I was talking to so many realtors, so many people. And we have a big online sales course, right? Sell It Like Sirhan course. We've been doing it for about a year and we have 6,000 members. And so many people were getting into the Sell It Like Sirhan course who were being fired from other jobs. And so I just kept talking to everybody. And a lot of people were saying, hey, Ryan, okay, I know what to do in a situation. You know, I'm going on a date. I know what to say. I know what's good about me, but I'm freaking out. I'm too nervous. My stomach, I don't feel I'm good enough. Or, you know, I'm going to a listing presentation, and you've taught me everything in your course with how to pitch, how to negotiate, how to structure my day, how to do everything I need to do, but I don't think people are going to like me. And I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm good enough. And I kept getting hit with that over and over and over, March, April, May, and big money energy came out of that. Because what I realized was when I first got into the business in 2008, I too felt the same exact way. I wasn't meant for this business. I'm not from New York. I don't come for money. I am smart, sort of, but I'm not a genius like most of these people. I'm not well networked. You know, I don't have any of these things that all the top brokers have. Why would anyone want to work with me? I don't know the difference between Greenwich Street and Greenwich Road in this city. Why am I even doing this? And I was so riddled with self-doubt, and I would see these brokers, these agents, and anyone actually, walk down the street or walk into the room with incredible confidence. And I used to think to myself that those people are confident because they have money. And I used to call that big money energy. And what it really means that I learned down the line is that those people had big magnetic energy. And if I could figure out kind of the blueprint for creating a magnetic persona that would attract success so that I could take back control of my life and lead the biggest one possible, then anything is possible. I could be as successful as I want to. And that's what came out of me, and that is what big money energy is.
Man, well said, Ryan. This is such great advice, and I really think, I mean, we spend a lot of time at the Kenmore team working on many of these same principles. I have to tell you, I read this book. Thanks for sending the copy, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. And there are some points that really hit home. You call them big money codes. What are these?
Yeah, sure. So in the book, I break down 16 big money energy codes. As I was writing, they are basically my secrets, things that I think that are really, really important, whether it's mantras or just things to remember. Maybe you've heard some of them before, maybe you haven't. But if you say them over and over, you remember them, you think about them, you will be able to manifest your own fate. Right? And I never want anyone else to control my fate. I want to just have me control my fate. You know, so big money energy code number one is when you can't change your circumstances, there's one thing you can change. your energy. And that's really, really, really important to remember. Because I feel like so many people, myself included, like I couldn't change how much money was in my bank account, you know, unless I went and maybe started selling my body. You know, like I couldn't change the apartment I lived in. I couldn't afford anything else. I couldn't change who my parents were, where I was born. I couldn't change my past, but I could change my future. And the only way to do that was by changing my energy. And I realized that the self-doubt that I was kind of riddled with was manifesting itself in low energy. And I kept my head down. You know, I asked a friend actually around that time, okay, could you just, what do you think of me? Like when people say, you know, who are you hanging out with? And you say, I'm hanging out with Ryan. How do you define me? How do you tell people who I am? Am I like the tall guy, the white guy? Like, what am I? And one of the things he said is, oh, you're shy and you always look at the ground. I was like, I'm shy and I always look at the ground? What? Really? I have no idea. It has become like a tick for me where I was nervous about how I looked. And so I wouldn't make good eye contact with people. And then I wouldn't talk because I was nervous about what I was saying. And maybe I didn't know enough. And so I just felt self-conscious. And so I would just kind of not talk a lot. And I would just keep my eyes, you know, I would keep to myself, keep my eyes on the ground. And that was eye-opening to me, no pun intended. And, you know, it was a big part of that initial self-audit. So you can change your energy to change your life. That's code number one. I mean,
Ryan, this is huge. And I think our energy has been a key to our success. It still shocks me to be here talking to you, the guy on TV that I saw jump into the swimming pool at a competitor's open house, and you're going to reference that you used to be a shy guy. I don't know. I'm not buying it. But Ryan, I got to say, before we go to break, I have to ask you, I've heard you say before, know your stuff. And what does that mean, know your stuff?
You can't be a great salesperson if you don't know your product. Every day we're trying to beat the internet, right, as salespeople. Why us? Why is someone working with us? Everything they need to know is on the internet, right? It's all on different websites. It's all Googleable. So why us? Is it our relationships? Yeah, a little bit. But it is our ability to understand the information that is readily available, to then decipher it and explain it to our clients in a way that they can actually understand, because a lot of the information is convoluted, is overwhelming. You know, they don't know why certain things sell versus other things and what this means and what that means in a contract. They can figure it out. But they want to use us because we know more than they do. And there is no better way to assert your confidence as a salesperson than with what you know. When I first got into the business, we were just talking about this, right? Like I came to the city as an actor, and my friend told me it's memorizing. That's it. You can memorize information about your neighborhoods and buildings and comps and properties and just talk about what you know. No one's going to care that you're 23. It's a big fear of mine. You know, I'm going to get into real estate, really? Is anyone going to buy something from me? I'm 23 years old. I don't even have a suit. I wear cowboy boots. You know, in New York, you wear a suit and tie. And so that's what I did. I memorized everything as if it was a script for a play. I memorized it and I would monologue it just because that's what my training was in. You know, I could memorize things. And I would memorize the blocks, you know, the details about a building, who the architect was, what year it was built, all the different addresses, the apartment numbers, who lived where. I would prepare for buyer tours and I would walk down the same blocks that are going to take them. I would go into coffee shops and I would meet the baristas, the people there, introduce myself the day before. So if they were there the next day when I stopped in with a client, I could walk in and they would know me. So now it seemed like I've been there multiple times when all I did was show up yesterday. And so knowing your stuff is how you get deals done, right? You know your stuff, you follow up. You know your stuff, you follow up. That's the secret sauce. That's the recipe.
I can't think of a better way to go to break. If you know your stuff, you get deals done. Priceless, priceless information and super realistic advice. We're talking with Ryan Serhan, star of HGTV's $1 Million Listing today. Yeah, folks, I'm giddy. absolutely giddy about what's going on here today. When we come back from the break, more from Ryan Serhant.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. If you're just tuning in, we're interviewing a legend in the real estate business, Ryan Serhant. Ryan, thanks so much again for being here today. We really appreciate your time. Before the break, you were talking about knowing your stuff and doing deals. But at the end of the day, you personally, how do you define success?
Good question. Success to me is kind of like what I said earlier, right? Like, I don't negotiate my goals. Success to me is reaching an assortment of goals that you set for yourself over a period of time. So if you want to get that job and then you want to get that raise and you do it, boom, you are successful. But you have to be successfully relative to your own understanding. Like, Jeff Bezos is super successful, right? But you cannot compare yourself to Jeff Bezos. Like, it's just a different world. Maybe one day you can be like him or better than him. That's awesome. Strive for that. But success is completely relative to the own world that you live in. And it's about reaching goals and not negotiating them and fighting for them and adapting and staying flexible if you need to, and setting realistic goals. And then pushing yourself and pushing yourself and pushing yourself.
Oh, man, I really appreciate you using Washington's own Jeff Bezos as the example. I mean, you know your stuff, Ryan, obviously, because I'm sure that's not an accident. You threw that in there for me. I'm always studying how successful people operate. And you selling billions of dollars of real estate, what do you do throughout the day? What does your day look like? How is it structured?
I do a bunch of things, actually. The structure of my day is incredibly important. And I put a lot of it actually into Big Money Energy, into my new book, because I feel that in our business as salespeople, your day is the one thing you can control, right? You can't control if the husband and wife are going to agree and actually buy. You can't control if a seller is going to pick you. You can't control if your offer is going to be the one that gets accepted. You know, there's so many things in our business that we cannot control. You can't control other real estate agents. Mm-hmm. Your day, you can't control. What you do day in and day out, and that's the most important thing. So in my first book, Sell It Like Serhant, I talk about my finder, keeper, doer system, which is really, really important, where I break down my day into three. Where the first part of my day, I'm a finder of business only. The middle part of my day, I'm a keeper of business only, meaning I handle all the business I currently have. I keep all the business. I figure out how I'm going to grow it. And then the rest of my day, I'm the doer of the business. So I'm doing the marketing. I'm putting the materials together. I'm doing the showing. And in Big Money Energy, I really, really break it down by the minute. So I also live by something called the 1,000-minute rule. And again, I feel not everybody has to live this way, but if you're a salesperson and you want to be successful and you want to sell more than anybody else, which is me, you know, you have only so many minutes in your day. Remove sleep, remove eating, remove family, time, and you're left with around 1,000 minutes every single day. So what are you going to do with it? You are the CEO of your own bank of time every day. How are you going to make the best use of that? And what really starts to mess you up is think about how much money you want to make this year. Do the math backwards, divide it out, figure out what your time actually costs you instead of just feeling like you're spending and or wasting time, and realize what that time is costing you because of how much money you want to make. And you'll be really, really, really cognizant of how you spend all of your time going forward. Maybe you won't spend 15 minutes scrolling through the news that is meaningless to you, unless it makes you feel better, and that scrolling through the news is going to make you more productive. Maybe that's your thing. I don't know. But between finder, keeper, doer, and the 1,000-minute rule, I've been able to find amazing ways to be productive.
This is such great advice. At the Kenmore team, we call that a time audit. where we really start looking at every single minute, and it is such a powerful exercise. Your schedule can make or break you in most businesses. Specifically on our team, Ryan, I spend so much time working with new agents about handling rejection. In sales, I mean, you've got to learn how to deal with a no and move on, but how do you handle rejection?
You know what? I use it as fuel. I allow myself to be affected by it immediately. I'm not somebody who takes failure or rejection and just shoves it under a rug, because then you're ignoring a feeling, and I don't think that's good. I use it. I try to get honest feedback as to why you rejected me. Why aren't you going with me? I think I'm the best. And use it as fuel for the fire to go and do better tomorrow, get somebody else. And I don't take it personally. You know what I take personally? When I was in the city, before I got into real estate, trying to be an actor, I would take it personally when someone would reject me to my face because of my face, you know, because of my voice, because of my hair, because I was too tall, you know, because they just didn't like me. Like, no one has ever said, Ryan, we're not hiring you because of your nose. Like, that's, you know what kind of rejection that is and how that feels? Most people don't know what that feels like. Go try to be an actor in New York City or L.A., and you will know very quickly what it means to be human.
Yeah.
Real estate agents pretend like they have a hard time with rejection because they've never been told no before in their whole life, because their parents said yes, because saying yes is easy. And in school, they got kind of yes to death because it's just easy. Now, all of a sudden, people are saying no, and screw this, I don't want to do this job. It's too hard. I'm not cut out for it. So they quit. That's why the percentage of real estate agents who quit in the first 12 months is like 80%, right? Mm-hmm. At least that's what it is in New York and Boston. And so I use that rejection as fuel. I remember it. You know, there's even some listings that I've lost, or I've printed them out and I put them on my wall so I can remember them over and over and over again, because that's a big reason why I push forward. But I always handle rejection like a gentleman. I send every seller or buyer who decides not to work with me an orchid, a flower. And I always say, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll do my best to try to find you somebody. If the buyer, I'll do my best to keep you posted. I'll do my best, if you're a seller, to try to bring you a buyer. And a lot of times when the things don't sell, they come back to me. Because I'm the one that sent them a flower.
And lastly, man, where can people get this great book that we have been talking about today?
Go to bigmoneyenergy.com. You can go to Amazon. I mean, anywhere books are sold, that's fine. But bigmoneyenergy.com has all the links and all that stuff.
Ryan, from myself and my team, thanks for all that you do and taking the time to be with us today. It has been an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm. Great talking to you, Lance.